now, with palpitations, we're looking forward to have a report from our State Board Liaison, Mr. Steve Moore.
Thank you, Chair Wolf. Very impressive report this month, indeed. And thanks for all your service and participation in those issues. I'm Steve Moore. I'm a member of the State Water Resources Control Board and the liaison to the Central Coast Region. And it's my pleasure to deliver the regular report to you. That was a real pleasure to see your staff and students today. And it does remind me of my time as staff at the San Francisco Bay Water Board, and I can attest to the importance of the students and how they often end up becoming part of our employee pool. And we're real fortunate throughout the water board system to have that system in place for our succession planning. I wish I could say I was a student once within the water boards, but I wasn't. I just got hired as line staff. But so that was really a treat for me to see that. Yeah, I'm glad you had a chance to get immersed a little bit into that. Forgive me, I have a little bit of a cold, so I'd love to go on and on about all the interesting things we're doing, but you have a long agenda today, so I'll try to be brief. The budget items, which I reported, I think, back in January when we last connected, and the drought was only just kind of becoming a possibility. Now it's been pretty much cemented in as the fourth consecutive year of drought. And you know that we've been very busy the last couple of months. But the budget story has remained pretty consistent from the January approvals of staffing and contract monies. And in May, with the May budget revise, the governor's office is proposing some additional help at State Board for Bay Delta issues, but also that executive order from April 1st from the governor to have some assistance for implementing the Urban Water Conservation Program to the tune of maybe 8 people. But that's a new area for the State Water Board, a new relationship with the water purveyors in the state. And so the governor recognized that we have to have some staffing to accomplish that. So going into recently completed items, I think Dr. Hunter, you mentioned that the EJ tour that we took, that was really important in late February very educational and worthwhile. And I was encouraging my fellow State Water Board members to do similar outreach and listening. So I want to thank you, Dr. Hunter, for helping set that up. You're very persistent. It took a lot of commitment to make that happen. I appreciate it. Also, I think it was you mentioned the Green Street dinner that I attended in San Luis Obispo back in late March. I want to acknowledge, Dr. Hunter, you were there and really supporting the Low Impact Development Initiative. Darla Inglis was there. Dominic Rock did a great job of explaining, the regulatory program. And it was well attended by local elected officials and public works directors. And I think, Mr. Johnson, you attended a similar gathering held, I think, pretty much put on by the Local Government Commission, who I think is a great partner in this. They help kind of bridge, kind of create a liaison role between the water boards and the local government to try to explain, this new initiative, which is Region 3 is clearly one of the leaders in our state in bringing low-impact development forward. I'd like to do a tie-in then to the next thing. We completed in April 7th an amendment to the Ocean Plan for controlling trash in surface waters that eventually reached the ocean. And that was a landmark achievement. And one of the issues that I championed and was successful in putting in the policy was a recognition that in many, if not most cases, low impact development is full trash capture, because in low impact development you're creating a barrier between the landscape and the waterways by taking away that directly connected impervious surface. And so in so doing, that principle should work to keep trash from being short-circuited to waterways. So low-impact development is recognized in the trash policy as full trash capture where it's been certified as such. You know, there may be cases where that isn't the case. But I thought it was important not to pull our local governments in two different directions for low-impact development type principles and the trash control. They really should be able to harmonize. We also, within 30 days, amended the ocean plan twice, believe it or not. You know, in May 6th, we amended the ocean plan for the desalination policy. And we've talked about this before. It just it lays out the framework for minimizing or eliminating impacts to marine organisms by both the intake of seawater and the discharge of brine into seawater. And there are a lot of details within that that we can, if you have questions, I can answer. But the last time we were together, you approved the Santa Barbara MPDES permit. And I can say, I think Santa Barbara did their best to try to meet the intent of the policy that has now been adopted. It hasn't been approved by all of the steps yet, the OAL approval, the EPA approval. Those are still forthcoming. But so that process is underway. And I think I just want to commend the board and working with Santa Barbara to try to, connect the dots between what the future desalination facilities are going to look like under the statewide policy and the existing facility that they had. So I think there's a consistency there. Well, if you picked up the newspaper in the last month or so, you may have read that on May 5th, the State Water Board adopted emergency regulations for urban water conservation. And I have some descriptions here of what that means. Just to make sure I cover all the bases. But at any rate, this is my drought update. I don't know, have you all been receiving the drought updates from Sadie McCauley? She puts together like a couple of sheets of weekly drought updates. I'm not sure if you get those, Ken, so we'll see if we can get those to you. A lot of the things in the executive order relate to water rights issues such as curtailments that don't affect this region as much. But the emergency regulations that we adopted on May 5th mandate a 25% reduction in urban water use. And the regulations establish 8 tiers of increasing levels of conservation for 411 urban water purveyors. And the 411 are those who have 3,000 or more connections in their service system. There's actually a lot more. There's over 3,000 water purveyors, providers of drinking water in the state of California. 411 of them have over 3,000 connections. These regulations allow suppliers to subtract potable water delivered to commercial agricultural customers from their baseline water use, which is used to determine compliance with the conservation standard, provided that specific criteria are met. They also provide an avenue for suppliers in areas not affected by drought, more of the North Coast region and those type of places, and they're put into a reserved 4% reduction tier. Excuse me. So these regulations have been approved by OAL and will be in effect until February 13th, 2016. And so we're with the governor's office, the board, and the Association of California Water Agencies are holding informational webinars for water suppliers. And this 25% water reduction requirement goes into effect June 1st. The first reports documented progress toward the 25% conservation standard as compared with 2013 will be due on July 15th. So that's when we start getting into the business of regulating under these new regulations on July 15th. We've been very busy with financial assistance. We have this program in the Division of Drinking Water called the Public Water System Drought Emergency Response. We're tracking a total of $16 million in grants and requests for emergency drought projects. They're in various stages of the funding process. We've received requests that exceed by $1.2 million, the total amount of available public water system drought emergency response. So there's the 16 million, that means we have, you know, about 18.5 million in demand. We've executed 55 program funding agreements for a total of 12,700,000. And we've issued two of these program funding agreements to the Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, CAL FIRE, and this community up in the Russian River called Brook Trails. You mentioned the recycled water issue, something we're, as you know, we're doing everything we can do to try to increase funding with lower interest rates. And we adopted a general order last June, you might remember, to facilitate the use of recycled water on agricultural lands and other uses. We're having staff track the enrollment to this order. And as of March, there were only two facilities in the state that were enrolled, but we expect many more from this region and North Coast, Central Valley, Lahontan, and San Diego regional boards that are in the queue. It takes a little while to get the, you know, get the engine running. You heard today about our sister agency, Dogger, Division of Oil, Gas, and Geothermal Resources. You may have heard that the governor's office directed us, the State Water Board, to assist Dogger in reviewing the underground injection control program. And so it gets a little confusing because there's the whole issue of the hydraulic fracturing, which is SB4, and that program where the oil companies stimulate wells to enhance oil recovery using either acid or hydraulic pressure and that sort of thing. So there's that whole program. Well, as part of reviewing those practices, you probably have read in the press that the underground injection control program, the wastewater from those operations that gets injected back into the ground, not all the places where the injections were happening were properly exempted. And so we're now ramping up efforts to help Dogger address these issues. And Central Valley Board's been very active in issuing information orders to the operators of injection wells. So that may be something that your new oil staff get to know better. You know, that whole, yeah, that's what I figured. Oh, I wanted to recognize an award that was received in this region. Two grant programs within the Prop 84 program received Stormwater Project of the Year awards in this in 2015. Here in Ventura County, the County Government Center Parking Lot Green Streets Retrofit was selected as Project of the Year under the environmental category by the American Public Works Association in the Ventura County chapter. So that was nice to see that recognition. In back on the emergency drinking water front, there was a project approved by the Division of Drinking Water for well rehabilitation in Oceano. Is that how you say it?
Oceano.
Oceano. Sorry, I knew I botched that. Oceano Community Services District for $121,000. Also, the Division of Drinking Water provided bottled water to both the Pajaro Mesa Community Services District in Monterey County and bottled water and point-of-use devices for state and local small systems around Springfield Terrace and Las Lomas in Monterey County, about $134,000. Some little items of interest. Now, upcoming, the next couple of months, I just wanted to flag a couple items. In June, the second board meeting, we're going to have a workshop on a general waste discharge requirements for composting operations. As of a couple weeks ago, we changed adoption hearing to a workshop. We're going to do a two-step process. We're still working through some details with our sister agency, CalRecycle, because they're concerned about the viability of decentralized composting operations. But we have very legitimate concerns about water quality protection, and so we're hoping this order will have the right amount, the light touch that's needed, but still protective of water quality and groundwater and surface water. So we're having a workshop on that in June. In July, I expect to see our draft order addressing the petition from the Los Angeles Regional Board MS4 stormwater permit, stormwater MPDS permit, and the issues of receiving water limitations and the path to compliance. It has applicability in our phase two stormwater permit that is the main vehicle that this region implements the stormwater requirements. So that will be an important resolution of some issues. Basically, there's a structure, and it relates a little bit to this AB 985 stormwater resource plan issue too, that those stormwater resource plans are required if you want to get funding under Prop 1 for the Integrated Regional Water Management Program. And in essence, it starts to get confusing. It's a little bit of an alphabet soup, all these different stormwater resource plans or enhanced watershed management plans in the LA permit. To me, I think it's just important to step back and realize these are all kind of the same idea, which is implementing things like low-impact development on a parcel-by-parcel basis. While there may be some merit in that, ultimately looking at things regionally and from a watershed basis is going to ensure ensure success in achieving our goals, and that it's an infrastructure issue, not just meeting standards, but how we design our urban landscapes and how water moves over them. So that'll be a pretty rich discussion. And then along those lines, in August, we expect to see the Stormwater Strategic Initiative. Your staff, Phil Hammer, has supported us in developing a statewide strategic initiative. And, it's Stormwater 2.0 or whatever, shorthand nickname you want to give it. But it's the idea of taking stock in how we've approached stormwater regulation and reinventing it and making our staff work on things we think will create more value in the local communities. And so we've been engaging with stakeholders statewide through a collaborative process to identify and discuss stormwater program issues and potential approaches to them. And so this is the culmination of all those efforts. There's four guiding principles in the Stormwater Strategic Initiative. Stormwater is a valued resource, number one, not a hazard or a waste. It can be a hazard, but it's first and foremost, it's a resource. Number two, stormwater is a principal factor in the quality and health of California waters. And three, addressing stormwater pollutants at earlier life cycle stages is an effective and efficient means of protecting water quality, the idea of source control. And then four, improving overall water board stormwater program efficiency and effectiveness enhances productivity and supports environmental outcomes. So we expect to see that in August. And I just make sure I don't miss anything big here. I just want to put a plug in for the drinking water and clean water SRF programs. We have these low interest loans and we can get things off the ground. Our staff is doing everything we can to make it a simpler process. We've been reaching out and through our Office of Sustainable Water Solutions. Currently 135 small community drinking water systems and 46 small community wastewater systems are currently receiving technical assistance via the Drinking Water and Clean Water State Revolving Fund Technical Assistance Program. And the most frequent types of assistance requested are rate studies, application preparation, and capacity assessments. And so we went out on April 13th, for instance, and met with stakeholders to try to facilitate their use of these tools. One of the hallmarks of this year with going into the Proposition 1 challenge, we have five pots of money. You may remember what those are. You know, it's the small community wastewater, drinking water, stormwater, recycle water, and there's a fifth one in there somewhere. Sorry. But as we grapple with that, what we've done is create a single application, and staff will assist communities in knowing, you know, what part of it's going to be a loan from which pot, which, you know, what Prop 1 pot could be applicable, as well as other Proposition 84 and Prop 50 grant monies. So, you know, if there's a project out there, it's a wastewater collection system project, recycle water project. That was the fifth pot, was the recycle water. There's just one application, and then, you know, we go from there, and we look at it as a customer service exercise to try to get money out to communities. So I want to commend the staff at our Division of Financial Assistance for really, you know, pushing the envelope on trying to make, in this latest round of guidelines for Prop 1, a much more simpler, streamlined process. And I think I'll conclude my remarks there. Thank you.
Let's see, Dr. Hunter.
Thank you, Mr. Moore, and I really appreciate you reminding me of the Green Street gathering, because I actually didn't mention it, but we talked about it since then. But I think the point to raise there, which was impressive to me, was that the group attending were the local municipalities and elected officials, as well as their technical staff, looking at funding that they have in hand and ways to integrate LID or other stormwater capture, and looking at model projects and considering where they might find lessons learned so that they can assure themselves and their constituents that this is a new approach and one that is has real value, multiple benefits, which is one of my favorite terms. So thank you for reminding me, and I appreciate your attending that meeting. Switching over to the funding available, and that has been recently issued, I noted that you included Los Lomas, which is one of the residential areas that we toured, that you were part of that tour, and where we had a chance to hear directly from homeowners who had discovered the nitrate in their well waters. These are five or less connections, were extremely high in nitrate. So I'm really pleased to hear that they moved up the list for however that happened. But we know there are many others that are struggling. One of the issues that came up, and I know we have the EJ item on the agenda today, but I'm wondering if you could comment. One of the things that you brought to light in the final gathering, which was at the Monterey County Community Foundation, we had a big group discussion about funds and the difficulty that disadvantaged communities have in qualifying because of lack of governance or any other kind of organizing structure, and the barriers to regionalization, because that's something that always is a context in which to consider what are the options. But you mentioned in particular that the state board staff is aware of these barriers, and that there may be work that is specifically looking at language to address how bond monies might be able to, there might be a pathway for those communities, and I just wanted to keep that in the dialogue, and if you had any other thoughts you could add to that.
It's really one of the great challenges of this issue, in terms of having an entity that can lawfully receive the funds and that sort of thing. Our Division of Drinking Water staff is thinking very creatively, in terms of trying to figure out a way to solve this. One example that's coming into the May revise budget as a possible trailer bill language. You know, at this point in the year, legislation and budget kind of gets conflated because of the trailer bill process and on the heels of the governor's executive order from April 1st. So an example that's a proposal is drought water system consolidation, and where some water systems lack capacity to adequately serve their customers during the drought, some have run out of water completely or it's unhealthy, and nearby water systems may or may not be willing to serve the customers of the failing system. That's the problem. And the proposal that's under consideration would authorize the State Water Board to require consolidations under certain limited circumstances. So that's one tool that we're exploring, its development to compel, you know, what we otherwise see. You know, I noted that San Lorenzo Water District, did I mention this last time? It might have been since the last time we met. Margaret Bruce is the director of the San Lorenzo Water District in Santa Cruz, and they're an example of a really responsible stewardship of water systems in the San Lorenzo River watershed. They're actively pursuing consolidation, and that's not the norm. That breaks the and there's another example out by Palmdale, east of Palmdale, the Rosamond Water District. We're looking at these, you know, capable institutions. They're already voluntarily doing this consolidation. It benefits the public. We're trying to find a way, gently but firmly, to see consolidations. As I mentioned, there are 3,085 drinking water service providers in our state. It's a situation that needs to be brought under control for the benefit of the public.
Thank you. Mr. Delgado?
Yeah, just a quick question. You don't have to answer it now if you don't know, but you mentioned regarding recycled water that the program that provides lower interest rates and other ways to facilitate the use of ag recycled water. You said there were only two facilities enrolled as of March. Do you know which two of those were? It's okay if you don't.
I do right have now. That. That was the City of Winters Wastewater Treatment Facility in Yolo County, and the Sunny Gem Almond Processing Plant in Kern County. So there's just a couple of Central Valley operations. But we expect, and also in the Bay Area, there's an existing order, the San Francisco Water Board, San Francisco Bay Water Board, that is similar to the statewide order. So folks are probably just using the regional board's order in those cases. So it's, but now we have this tool, and there are several folks that are in process right now to be included.
And I'm not sure if you're aware of this, Mr. Moore, but there is, in Prop 84 in the language, there is actually an administrative little glitch, as I'll describe, because in the revised language of 2015 for the earworm grants, high priority and medium priority basin have to have a basin management plan in place by the 1st of January 2015. This totally contradicts the governor's SGMA law of having a SGMA plan that triggers 2017. It is currently in the language. The language cannot be changed by the State Water Board because this language was written by the legislators. So the only way this can be changed is through legislative action. Now, there are quite a few medium and high priority basins who are basically in a quandary. They're the ones who have the most needs, hence why DWR has ranked high priority and medium priority. And they basically they cannot apply for these grants because they didn't have a groundwater basin management plan by the 1st of January. Now, that groundwater basin management plan is the old terminology of basin plants, not the new one associated with SGMA. So it's basically a little an administrative error, But I just want to bring this to your attention. I'm not sure if you were aware of this. This clearly has significant impact to all the counties who do have high and medium priority basins. This came as a surprise when quite a few applicants in good faith applied, and then they were told, you are disqualified.
That was by Department of Water Resources?
No, it's disqualified through the administrators of a grant, which is through the State Water Board. Remember, the State Water Board does manage the Prop 84 grant money. Mm-hmm. And each county.
Well, actually, we don't. I'm just. Prop 50 we administer. But
no,
as my
Prop
understanding,
80,
Prop 84 is the Department of Water Resources.
No, Prop 84, you go to the website. I actually spoke to, you know, our Sacramento representatives. This is why I had also these meetings with supervisor who were kind of scratching their head. How did this come about?
Mm-hmm.
I'm more than glad he can share you know, offline more information. But it was recognized, by the way, by State Water Board staff that it is a contradicting language in Prop 13. And this was triggered by the 2015 amendments that were made to the language. 2014, that particular language was not inserted. Anyway, just for your information. Thank you. So appreciate very much your comprehensive report, as always. One thing that I want to remind everyone is speaker cards. Speaker cards are in the back in toward the exit. And please give your speaker cards to Tammy or clerk of the board. That way I can keep track also. And this afternoon, not before 1:30, permit will be around after 2 o'clock. We also will have public comments. The speaker cards, if you do have a specific topic that you'd like to discuss with items which are agendized, you know, make sure you give us the cards. And then public comment, as I stated, will be after 2 o'clock. So thank you very much.
Mr. Chair, if I could just add on a couple of things quickly to what Mr. Moore said. I just want the board to know that he mentioned a number of initiatives that the state board is working on. It's important, I think, for you to know that we have staff working from the regional board on almost every one of those major initiatives. Taya is working with state board on the compost order and is going to be participating in state board briefings and will also be at the workshop. Matt Keeling is working on anti-deg. John Robertson on the oil working group. So I think it's, even though it does take time and it does take away from their daily task, and there are others that we're working on, I just want you to know that Region 3 does an outstanding job of ensuring that the regional perspective is interjected into these things that the state board is working on. And in fact, I spent Tuesday and Wednesday at MCC in Riverside, and the level of interaction and inclusion between the state and regional boards is improving all the time, and there's a recognition that we have to do more. It was very encouraging, the conversations we had Tuesday and Wednesday. So you're going to see more and more of that, and that also includes the regional board members themselves trying to get you all involved in policy work if you have an interest and you have the time to do that. So I just wanted to add that on. Thank you.